This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Ensure your body gets the nutrition it needs. Athletic Greens has a special offer for our listeners. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Spartan, and then when you place your order, they'll send you a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets. That's a free offer just for our listeners.
Welcome to Spartan Up Podcast. We're at Dodger Stadium. This is where our next guest's son hit his first ever major league hit. Pretty incredible guy. Peter Jackson, powerful business person, powerful parent, and he talks a lot about perseverance, how to hang in there, how to be the long odds person that achieves success where so many people can't. Speaking of which, we've got Colonel Nye.
Long odds.
We got Johnny Waite. We got Safra. We got Joe DeSantis, who's all about the long odds. We got our producer, Marion, and her production assistant, Andrew, who is awesome. And check it out. Awesome. Peter Jackson. You got to see this.
I am here for Spartan Up Podcast, LA Dodger Stadium, with Peter Jackson from Bluescape, and we are going to learn. I don't know what we're going to learn today because we don't really know each other. I was just doing burpees, and we're talking.
You look good.
I looked a little sweaty. I feel a little sweaty, but we're going to do some burpees, by the way, even though you're dressed up. If that's okay,
we don't do
a lot, but we'll do some. But let's go back. I mean, at the end of the day, we're looking to find out what are the little nuggets we can learn from people we interview on how to be successful. What are the things you found along that journey that we could take and apply at home? So where'd you come from? What'd you do? What is Bluescape, et cetera?
I come from Berkeley in California.
So you already had a leg up.
I was raised in an environment where there really wasn't some of the things we all argue about now, about whether there's gender equality or race equality. Berkeley was like another country in of itself. So we grew up in that. And then I had a single mom. She had five kids, and she taught the deaf and blind. So wow. I was around a lot of communication tools throughout my life.
Brothers, sisters, all brothers?
I have two sisters, two brothers.
Got it. Cool. So you grew up in Berkeley, and she also taught for the deaf.
Yeah, you had to be totally deaf and blind to be how my mom is a teacher. So she taught communication through vibration, and it was literally 20 feet from our front door of the school.
Wow.
So they were at our dinner table often. So you had to learn. They knew who I was. They could just touch or... I remember one guy, when he first sent me, had holes in my jeans, and he always go down and try to find the holes. But one of the things, the takeaways for me early on in life was learning how to really read people, whether they're listening to
that's
me.
That's what I was going to say, right? Because you're missing a few senses. Your mom really knows how to communicate at that level, so she's probably imparting that on you guys, which is such an important part of navigating life.
Listening, communicating. Yeah. You know, it's humor and communication, but I kind of use text as my thing when you think about business. And my road has led me to a couple IPOs. I've got plenty of disasters I could talk about, you know, so I don't want to act like I've just been a rocket ship. I learned more during the disaster times, especially on the ones that succeeded. But text for me is really, you know, three things. It's timing or tenacity. It's execution within that. And then getting out. What is the exit time for you? And that may not be apropos. You want to say, I'm going to do Sparta for the rest of my life. Sure. But when you're in the software business, there's a path to an exit, and most aren't IPOs. You want to probably get part of a larger organization.
And your brothers and sisters, same kind of path in life?
All different, really. Yeah. No, my sister was in entertainment.
Okay.
She worked for Disney for years. My brother's in agriculture. Uh-huh. My little brother went into technology after he spent 20 years in the military, and he's done well there. And then my little sister's a school teacher. So it's a breadth.
It's a good mixture. And so what would you say? Were the secrets to tell us about the secrets to failure. What could we learn from your failures that could help us avoid those potholes?
Well, I mean, you can identify with this, or anybody who's, you know, sort of watching the show, in the sense that you can get really passionate about something, let's say 5 a.m, and you're gonna go do it, right? I'm gonna go raise money for mom and dad and some venture people or whatever, and you're gonna go, but there's things you gotta know. Is there really a market? Is there, if you're doing something no one's ever done before, let's say it's MySpace or it's Friendster, the market really wasn't there. It was cute, but the market wasn't there because it wasn't mobile, right? And you can think of a lot of those things. And why did Napster fail? Well, because music artists didn't want free stuff going on it. So the timing of going to market is important. On your personal life, if you're out of shape and you're having twins, it's probably not a good time to venture out and try something where there isn't a market. So if you're establishing a new market, not good. If you see a market emerging, you can actually get the research on that. You can go out and find out that there's a market for it. You knew there was a market for this blog technology, and you figured it out, and that's why you have such demand. You saw other people doing it. You said, hey, I can take a different venue on it, and you made a success of it. If you go look at a market and you can't find anybody else doing it or nothing that's going in that direction, you're taking a lot of risk, both on the idea, and don't do it when you've got personal things at stake.
Sure. Yeah, there's a right time to go all in as an entrepreneur, and you're saying you've got to have more free time if you're going to be an entrepreneur in a space where the space doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, I learned more about when we went into Kuwait in the late 80s, my first startup, I had used a lot of debt for inventory. And we had a great year. And right before we went into the war, I gave everybody, you know, a 10% pay increase. So it was up to about 100 employees. Inventories were rampant all over the place. And all of my purchase orders froze when we went into Kuwait to stop Saddam Hussein, you know, way back then.
Right.
A lot of people say, hey, why didn't George Bush Sr. finish the job? And I say, thank God, because if he'd have gone back in deeper, I would have gone bankrupt. And it happened. It was like a 60-day war. Wow. He came back out. I did all pay cuts. Had to take 10 cents on the inventory, was down to nothing, and then all the orders came back up and I survived. Nothing I could do to sort of
outside
handle
that. Yeah.
And then, you know, 6 years later, I was public and had 1,700 employees and half a billion in revenue. But I was on the verge of really, I had my wife looking at for places to rent, to sell the house.
What's the trick from, you know, we're bumping up against a growth phase where like the wheels are shaking a bit and, you know, we've got, call it, I don't know, a couple hundred employees around the globe. And to take that next leap to become a billion-dollar brand, it feels like might as well be trying to go to Mars, right? Like, what's the trick there to breaking through?
I think the trick is it's really hard to do it organically. And it's not even easy if I say, hey, here's $100 million, go do it. Although most entrepreneurs would say, all I need is $100 million and I can do it. Most of those guys get that $100 million and they still don't do it.
Sure.
But finding the partnership and the leverage, you know, in your particular space, I'm not good at it, but it would be, hey, I got myself on this incredible network and the network became a strategic investor or something where you gave up some piece of your equity because they let you scale and go. And it isn't necessarily as much about money, but your production was able to get into a larger markets.
Got it. So if you're in the drink business, for example, you get in with a distributor, you're saying.
Correct. You know, that's a really good question because... in the drink business, which is really changing, people aren't drinking Coke anymore. You know, they're looking for organic chia seed, things like Apre, which is being born out of San Francisco. They get up to a certain point, and then now the Coca-Colas and the Pepsis of the world are going, we got to get onto that trick. And so you get to a certain point, you find them to be your distributor, and they become your acquirer. So that's a good example of timing, getting yourself to the point where you've got demand. Women don't want to drink Muscle Milk.
Right.
They'd really rather have a Prey.
Right.
And then they start drinking that drink. It changes the way they perform. Then all of a sudden it gets in the main market and then they sell out.
Sure. And you mentioned before about personal health and wellness. Like one of the big things we push here is you're going to be a better executive, a better entrepreneur, a better everything if you stay healthy, eat healthy. What are your takes there? Because most executives go off the rails because the pressure is just too great. You grab whatever food's right in front of you. You don't have time to work out.
You're guilting me.
But it happens to all of us. So what are your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, someone said something the other day. It's like, how many guys, you know, they're 6 feet, 240 pounds that are 7 years old?
Good point.
You know, and I sort of looked around the room and thought about some of the executives I know that are no longer with us. I think you have to understand that your mind needs to be fed in order to be a good leader, in order to be a good example. And so if I show up and I'm out of shape, then everybody kind of looks at me like, he doesn't really take care of himself, how's he gonna take care of me? So you're really the brand of your organization as a leader. And you just have to do that not only for your own brain, but for your employees. And I would say that if I look across my 100 employees, there's a lot of people that are in phenomenal shape that take it really seriously. And I think as a leader, you gotta invest in that and make sure they're doing it as well.
Yeah, we were recently with an $80 billion organization, market cap $80 billion, and CEO is a crazy triathlete. The people below him are out doing Spartan races and CrossFit and you name it, and it just permeates the whole organization. And I think, I mean, not self-serving when I say this, but like it just felt like that place was humming because that was ingrained in the culture.
Story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, leaders that, usually you find the leaders that are not pushing that agenda. You know, my first startups, I was talking to the real estate guy. I want a full court basketball court. I want a sand volleyball pit. I want lockers for everybody. I want a weight room. Right. I want all that stuff. I didn't have any turnover. You know, right. People were used to the regiment. Sure. And you couldn't play basketball at halftime unless you signed up. Only 10 people could play.
Right.
And no one could sign up for you. So everybody was getting to work at 6 in the morning because they wanted to play at lunch. So, I mean, you can build things into it that make it so that you don't have turnover. In San Francisco, we have massive turnover. And we put drinks in the kitchen and cooks and everything's paid for and we'll pay for your Ubers. They're doing everything to keep you from leaving. You got to go the extra step and make it so it's like, hey, I'm part of this whole family. And it goes into what Sparta represents. It's about health.
Yeah, we did. We rented space and built a basement where we lock people up. And they can't get out. So it took a different approach. I'm kidding.
That's high productivity. You can get out if.
If, right. You hit your targets today.
I haven't thought of that. That's good.
So, guys, what do you think about this view, huh?
Yodelay, yodelay, yodelay.
It is about as beautiful a place as you're going to see. And here we are, Morzine, France, at the Spartan European Championships. We're at the top of the gondola. You know, I just want to, there's guys mountain biking.
Lads.
In the winter, they're skiing here, some of the best skiing in the world. And we get to stand here and do our podcast. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Well, it's amazing. Spartan has sent us all over the place, right?
Yeah.
But now they're sending us with athletic greens.
It's a rough job.
Yeah, with
athletic
greens.
Now we're going with athletic greens. So, you know, when you're traveling, sometimes it's hard to get your nutrients, right?
Yep.
But now we're partnered up with Athletic Greens, and we get 75 nutrients, vitamins, all packaged in one handy packet, right?
Yeah, and you know, you get to travel all over the world, and you get to find the best things while you're there. You're a forager; we're not. We go to the fridge, but
that's a form of foraging.
No, but it's amazing that you know you are noticing ingredients from all over the world.
Yeah,
that we've got standing here in one cup at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, it's delicious. If you're always traveling and you can have your routine with you and it has all of this great medicine and amazing plants from all over the world. I mean, now we're looking, we got lupins around us, we have clovers and we got some dandelion. We have some friends here, but this is great friends like you two.
Ah.
And it's just so easy. And then you can drink this and then we can go run up the mountains and find more plant friends.
Yeah, I tell you what, I don't know, for those that can't see us, we are standing right on the precipice of this ski slope here. And as we were talking, about 25, mountain bikers came up, looked over the ledge, took one look and said, nope, we're going to go down another. We're going to go down.
What we saw 5 minutes ago was a guy with a paraglider jump right off here.
Yeah,
gorgeous. But
this is Mecca here.
Yeah, to the Athletic Greens, what makes these really special is this wasn't just thrown together overnight, right?
Yeah. Nutritionists, doctors,
naturopaths, right?
Yeah, and maybe people who actually taste test these things, right?
Yeah, but they've been putting together for about 10 years. It took them to come up with this formula. And so they've ensured it. What separates them in the market space is that they've got the 75 ingredients.
Yep.
So this is a supplement.
Raw natural ingredients.
Raw natural ingredients.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just wonderful stuff.
Rhodiola, chlorella, spirulina, slippery elm, got some reishi in there, some mushrooms, our fungi.
And I don't know if this is responsible, but you say you've been taking it about a month, Johnny, and I know that you're looking a little slimmer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Johnny,
I don't want to say this is how I've lost the weight.
But it hasn't hurt.
It hasn't hurt. And Currently, the thing
you
is,
look
too,
good, too. But you look
what we eat through the day. Some of it's healthy, some of it's not. And I'm just cutting down what I eat. But the nice thing is I don't need to cut down on this. I get excited about it. I look forward to it in the morning. And that's, you know, I've drank greens for a lot of years, and a lot of times you have to sort of force them down, and that's not the case with this. I look forward to it, and you know, if you're gonna skip breakfast, skip it with this.
Yeah, so cheers to you guys.
Athletic
join us
greens,
in the mountains.
Morzine, France.
Cheers.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Ensure your body gets the nutrition it needs. Athletic Greens has a special offer for our listeners. Just go to athleticgreens.com/spartan, and then when you place your order, they'll send you a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets. That's a free offer just for our listeners.
We are back, and we got to dive in a little deeper. Let's talk about your latest venture, Bluescape.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? How could it help us? What can we learn from it?
I guess the best way to start to get everybody to understand it, since it's like, I remember when I got my first iPhone, I missed my buttons. You know, like I got to move stuff around with my fingers.
Yeah.
And so the idea behind it, I'd love to say it was mine, but it was done by more scientific people. They sort of said, hey, why can't you take the equivalent of an iPad, make it the size of an enormous screen, and have everybody write on it around the world at the same time on a project? So you can name these Bluescape workspaces a different workspace. So it could be Sparta talking to Peter Jackson. Here's the contract he signed. Here's the editing we did. And it all lives there. The video will play on it. You don't ever have to go to a file, a tab, or a folder. And so it basically
is it actually a physical screen?
Yeah. Well, it can work on your phone today.
Okay.
You can have an infinite amount of people working on the same project at the same time around the world.
So, but isn't that a Google Doc?
No, that would be just one document. You can put the Google Doc in it, but you could also be running a video at the same time, all simultaneously.
Everything to do with you and I and the business dealings we have can live in.
A better example is the movie Frozen, from beginning to end,
right.
The Star Wars movies.
Right.
They actually start with where are they going to film it, what's the texture they're going to use, what are the characters, and those are all canvases. And it's an infinite wall. It's 7 miles long. You can't possibly use it up. No one ever has. I think the most we've ever had was 4%. So our biggest customers are the Paramount, Viacom, Disney, Warner Brothers, and then we also do the federal government.
So we have a race, for example, here.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of people collaborating on that race. We've got production issues, we've got marketing it. All sits right in one place.
Yeah, and everybody boots it up. And then when you're looking, just simply, you'd go to what's the canvas, which is the area of this is the race in LA, this is the race in San Francisco. You just hit LA. Everything that's going on is in there. Everybody's iterating. So gender-wise, it's neutral. The guy can't dominate the conference room.
Right.
If you're speaking a different language, you can actually iterate within it. You can add post-it notes. So think about when you look at a whiteboard, you come in and it says, don't erase, and it's got all this iteration all over it.
Yeah.
That becomes a digital board that's shareable to an infinite amount of people.
Wow. And what if we didn't have the big screen? Then we just use our computers to...
Yeah, like New Balance makes all their shoes without the big screen. They just do it in an iPad environment.
Got it. And everybody is just able to swipe and...
Yeah, so we have like Olakai sandals are made in them now. Like I mentioned, the federal government. We've got a lot in the movie entertainment business. And in the real estate sector, you come in, hey, here's the neighborhood you want to look at.
Right.
Here's the house. Let me show you the last five prices. And it's all sitting in that environment. And let me just share it to you at the end, you know?
Who organizes that environment? The people collaborating?
You could do it. Right. I could teach you in 5 seconds how to do it. You just simply drag everything you're trying to do about a project in. Then you push it like this and say, I'm going to name this canvas, real estate in Toronto.
Right.
Or resorts in Toronto on lakes.
Nice.
And then you'd hit that, right? And then you'd be able to share that document to people infinitely.
The funny thing, I don't know if it's funny, about what you've created, did it exist before? Does anybody
do I have to laugh?
No. Does anybody have, this is a brand new market you've defined?
It's a good question because the market wasn't defined. In 2016, the market for this was zero, 180 million last year and 5 billion in 2 years.
Wow.
So
wow.
The market came and it took $100 million worth of spending before actually everybody started signing up for it.
Sure, like the original Xerox, nobody knew what a copy machine was, and then they...
Yeah, and if you got enough money and you can last long enough, like if MySpace could have lasted long enough, maybe
they would have been okay.
Facebook, yeah.
Sure. So, you know, we talk about life a little bit and how challenging it is to juggle all these things in your life, family, work. It sounds like this helps run your business a little more easily.
Well, I mean, right now you've got things like Regis and WeWork and you're remote all the time. I mean, you're living around the world.
Sure.
And I know your schedule is just crazy, but you know, you're trying to iterate and edit and do all these things with people in different places. And so putting everybody in the same place at the same time is even more powerful today than ever. And collaborating and saying, some people are working at 2 a.m. while you're, you know, maybe somewhere else. So it's a way to take something that takes, you know, 9 months and bring it to 3 months or 3 weeks down to a week. And so it gives you inevitably more time or ability to make more money.
Or live your life.
Which is sometimes important.
Take a breath. Let's talk about the challenge you had building this thing.
I would say all of my startups have been challenged. You celebrate the day you get funding. And then you make promises that you're gonna hit certain watermarks because you're trying to get those investors in. And inevitably, until you get into your later rounds, they know you're full of you know what, and you're like, you know, trying to go. So you feel like you're failing most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, until it gets into that that viral space where it's going, and then everybody says you're a genius. When you're down here and you're struggling along, there's a lot of headwind at you. Your family, your friends are doubting you. Your visa bill is getting bigger, and so when you have those headwinds, is when you have to really second guess where you're at and try not to become weaker. And you need mentors. Yeah. You know, when you're going through that, and every one of these startups I've done, I've been fortunate enough to have an incredible mentor network of other CEOs that have, you know, the one I'm in now is 7 of the 12 are billionaires, and they've done this and talk about their pain stories. Scott Cook, who did Intuit, went to Procter & Gamble. It didn't work out, but his wife worked out, and she got promoted. Right. And then he went to San Francisco, worked to Bain, and that didn't work out. So he decided to make a checkbook in his garage. And then when he came home, all the savings were gone, and his wife's like, what's going on? And he's like, hey, I made this checkbook. It's electronic. And he got an order. He finally got an order for it, and that became Intuit. And so Scott, ironically, having not worked out at Procter & Gamble, is now on the board of directors there. But it was just the moment for him that he was able to achieve something when everybody said you couldn't. And he persevered. Sure. But he's a mentor to me that says, hey, fine, you're going to be fine. Right. It's just going to take a little longer, you know, identify the market. And those mentors changed all the world to me. I was going to, wanted to just throw out really quickly, like, long, odd things, or what guys like you and I do, or the people that are watching or thinking, you can do long, odd things.
Things that are extremely difficult, and it's a long shot.
Yeah, and you just don't go, you're all fired up when you get that first business card or your website or something. You can get there, but there's got to be something radical about you internally that's going to get there. And it is working out. It's mental toughness, whether you're, you know, you're trying to get through boot camp and the Marines. You know, we're at Dodger Stadium. My oldest son had his first major league hit here.
Okay.
That was an amazing thing for me because I told him when he was a little boy, you're going to be a big leaguer. I mean, that's just kind of a rat to do to a kid.
That's a long shot.
So the kid just kept saying, my dad says I'm going to be a big leaguer. And I remember all the family was clustered to see him after the game. And he texted me and said, meet me at 4A or whatever. I said, well, we're all over here. He goes, no, I need to talk to him. He goes, you're off the hook, dude. You know, and I and so that, you know, and my other son is about to break through in the bigs. Those are long, odd things you do to your children. This one, because they were like, I knew they could hit the ball. Right. But when you're going out as an entrepreneur, you have to think like you're making the majors. Right. And your odds are like 1%. And you're going to have to work out harder. Yeah. You're going to have to get up 2 hours earlier than everybody else. And you're going to have to come home an hour and a half later than everybody else. It's hard. You know it. I know it.
I just watched a little short film, read an article on a hockey player. I don't recall his name. And he said he remembers in a little, when he was young in hockey, and he was listening to the coach, and the coach said, just so you know, there's a 1% chance you'll even make it to here. And he thought, wow, I'm only on one team. There's 10,000 teams. Like, there's no chance. But he put his head down, and now he's in the NHL.
It's a great story. Right? And they tell that to a lot of kids, too. And you always hear them once in a while, you run by a kid after that, and they always go, it's kind of cool that I'm in the one percentile. Yeah. You know, they got that swagger.
Sure. Yeah. I have a chart that shows, or attempts to show, what you just described, which is, you've got your true north. You're an entrepreneur. You want to build a business. That's your true north. It clearly it lives inside you like butterflies, and just you can't stop.
Ponies,
right.
Rainbow ponies.
Yeah, and then you commit. I'm going to start this blue sky thing, whatever. Right. And I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but when you commit, that's the greatest excitement you'll have because the shit hasn't hit the fan yet. Right. Like, everything's going to be great. We're going to make $1 billion. This company's going to be perfect. Everyone's going to buy it. We're going to get investors. Right? I'm marrying this woman or marrying this husband. Like, everything's perfect. The next day, it's straight downhill. Right? Because now you've got to delay gratification. You got to start going to bed earlier, waking up earlier. Like, all the things that you weren't doing yet. Right? And then you hit the slow point, which you just described. And my question for you, here's what I think, but I'm not even going to tell you what I think. What differentiates the person that breaks through that low point versus the one that just succumbs and gives in and quits?
I think when you're in that...
we all hit that low point.
Well, you hit the low point, you're pretty lonely, right? Like when you're just starting, people do avoid you at the party because you're just talking, we're doing this and it's going to be huge. And you get to the point where there's like, people just don't want to hear it from you. Your spouse doesn't even want to hear it, right? Because you're not paying the bills.
Right.
So you have a lot of lonely time. And, you know, I imagine it's like the movie 72 hours, 27 hours or whatever. He finally just cuts his arm off, right? I mean, you get to a point where you come up with unbelievable ideas and you have all kinds of strength because you're that person you describe.
Right.
You're at rock bottom. Right. You're this close to BK, or you got to go work for your brother because you just can't do it. And you are thinking, if there were more hours than 24 hours in a day, you're using them, and you find a path, you find a hole that you're able to crawl through.
Or you pack it up.
Or you pack it up.
But most people pack it up.
I think a lot of people pack it up before they get to that moment.
Yeah.
Because
he could have not cut his arm off, right? He could have just died there.
You're not deaf and blind. You know, I've got a lot of tools.
Well, that's the reason I bring it up, is I'm convinced the differentiator between the people that quit and the ones that continue is their frame of reference. What's frame of reference, right? It's the values, beliefs, experiences you have in your life, the glasses you wear, and an Eastern European or a deaf and blind, like, they had it pretty tough. And they're like, we can't make payroll.
I ate cockroaches.
Yeah, like what? I can't make payroll, no big deal.
Well, I think that's very well said. And I think the problem is that, you know, if you're a blue blooder, you know, you're fortunate, I guess, to come from a wealthy family and they give you money, you might end up like the Vanderbilts. And if you're watching the show, go look at where the Vanderbilts are. You know, the last heir is Anderson Cooper.
Right.
And his mom said 4 years ago, just want to let you know, there's nothing left.
Right.
It's gone. Right, because they handed it down generation. Now, if you go to the Rockefellers, they've just grown it all the way up because they taught them what you said. They taught them they weren't going to get anything unless they became something. The Crown family in Chicago is like that.
Yeah.
You're going to be an insurance broker. You're going to go do this. You're going to become something.
Right.
Certainly, maybe a little easier because you can have more contacts and whatnot. But I didn't come from money at all. You know, I came from
your mom teaching the deaf and blind was probably changed your frame of reference during those early years.
She had to work,
right?
You know, she had to go to school at
night. But seeing those kids too, and
like, seeing them more than anything,
you can't complain about anything.
And they were smiling,
right?
They didn't know any better, right? So you know, whatever you come from, and your success is not that you go get a private jet or I get a private jet. It's probably you get more out of how you change other people's lives. So that they can experience things outside of work.
Yes.
You know, that they can be outdoors and they can go hike and they can do things like that. And I think that, to me, ultimately is success. The more money I make doesn't make me the more happy.
Sure.
The more I change people's lives brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get the government to pay us for changing lives. That's why Colonel Nye's here. We got to get Trump and team to get us money to do this, because it's not about the money, right? It's just, we just want to change lives. We want to measure profitability and lives changed.
That's, you know what, and that's what's going to stop people from doing opiates. And if that's what you're screaming about around the world, people taking drugs because they're trying to get out of their pain. They're trying to get something out of their way. And we need to change the way people approach their lives, the way they take chemicals, all that stuff.
I just visualized a T-shirt. Do burpees, not drugs.
I love it.
With that, it's a wrap. You're awesome.
Okay, so can you imagine how cool it is that you're telling your son, like, you can be in the major leagues, and then that text where he's like, come here, Dad. You know, I imagine as a father and son moment, that's kind of like peak of the pinnacle Everest type situation.
Lightning in a
right?
bottle. Lightning in a bottle, right? I mean, what are
like
the odds?
Jack's like, Dad, I just stepped into the White House.
That would be big.
I believe in him.
Colonel Nye's got some amazing kids.
Oh, yeah. His children.
We're not allowed to speak about, but you've got some amazing kids.
Smartest people ever. I don't have kids.
But listen,
the seeds are my kids.
He talked about long odds, right?
Yeah.
And the chance of your child, especially when he's small, 5, 6, 8, 10 even, that you're noticing that he has potential to make it to the major leagues is minuscule, right? So he knows that. But go ahead and tell your son you're going to make it. That can cut both ways, right? Mm-hmm. That can be that you're giving the kid positivity, that you're raising him up. Or you're setting expectations in a bar way too high, right?
Yeah, I was thinking that as well when I was listening. And it's not to say don't encourage them, don't put that expectation out there, because I think without that belief, there's zero chance. Like if you're told you're never going to make it, you're not going to make it. But I think the important piece is that, you know, there are a lot of parents who tell their kid, you're going to make it, fill them full of belief, and maybe the physical just isn't there and they don't get there. So I think it's important to do, because it's going to create the possibility of it. But it's also important that that doesn't become the only metric by which they measure their success. You know, his other son, like he says, is about to break into the majors. He's in the minors. What if he blows out his knee next month? Knock on wood. I don't want to jinx anybody.
And your whole life you've spent.
You were that guy who didn't get there, right?
So,
who cares? But that whole journey there is going to be an epic journey.
Peyton and Eli Manning's brother.
Well, sure, I think I said this on another podcast, right? But abracadabra means I create as I speak, right? Yep. So you might as well. We all create our own stories as we walk on this earth. And it's like,
what happens
to the great.
So you speak and you create what you want to do, and it doesn't happen. What happens then?
Great. Well, then you've had an epic journey on the way, thinking that you are going to make it, and the people you meet and where you go.
Exactly,
so you're having a party. Yeah. And then I was having a conversation with Fine, forget it. I'm not even going to tell this story because I'm being made fun of. No, no story.
No story for you.
That had nothing to do with you.
For those of you listening, Johnny was just referencing the soup Nazi from Seinfeld.
There you go. I sure was. No, but we're not. You and I aren't disagreeing. We're not disagreeing. We're saying the same thing, which is that just go out there, set that goal, go after it. But understand that it's not only if you achieve that goal that you're successful. Enjoy the journey.
The journey.
Enjoy who
is
you
the
become
thing.
Along
right.
the way.
Yes.
That's all I was saying is if you say to your son, if you don't go to the major leagues, I'm disowning you. That's very different than saying, you're someone who could go to the major leagues. You could honestly do it. I believe you're the 1 in 1,000 kid who could do it. Just like you're the 1 in 1,000 kid who could do anything.
No, and so I say to my kids, just to your point, I'll say, listen, you're either going to be an NFL player, you're going to win a gold medal, or be president. This way you give them options.
There's plenty of choices. Like a buffet bar.
I'll let you talk, then I want to pan back.
To your point, in the military, you know, lots of plans. You write plans all the time. You got plans for everything, right? And so when you go into battle, it's a plan. But the mindset or the phrase is, it's not the plan, it's the planning.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
It's because the planning is the training. The planning is your mindset, right. Getting you ready and ready and ready. So when something happens to that plan, you're ready to fall back into another planning process.
Sure. You know where you're not stumped.
Tell them about Gatwa.
And you know where to go.
What about Gatwa?
But that's a good transition to what he created now as a business.
100%. Yeah, that's what I was going to say is in parenting, he had a lot of great parenting things, but he's a very successful guy in a million ways. And I love Bluescape. I love this project he's working on. A planning environment, right? And it really is
collaboration board.
Yeah. Right? And but way beyond. So we've got Zoom, we've got Skype, we've got all these things. We got Google Docs, we got, you know, that you can sketch on. But as he said, it will pull everything together. And the thing that blew me away is he said you have people all over the world working on it. You've got every single aspect put in there. And he said, yeah, we figure that it's about 7 miles long. Literally, if you pan across a television, it will go 7 miles. He goes, most anyone's used was 400 feet or whatever, right?
Wait,
yeah.
I don't get that.
In other words, if you kept swiping to the right, it would go on for 7 miles.
So in other words,
for a big project.
You could never use it all. Just like you could never use all of your human potential, but you might as well try.
Got it.
So,
well, that's what he said, right? One of the best things that he said was people always, and we've heard this from multiple people, people are always going to call you crazy and you're a lunatic, right? Until your thing becomes viral and then you're touted as a genius. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, all your hard work, I mean, you know, not everyone always thinks that every idea that maybe any of us have are good ideas, but if you
you were pointing
stick
at me when
with
you
it,
said that.
Exactly. You know, any of us
don't. Names. It's like Richard Branson, you know, Coca-Cola didn't work, but other things did. And he said in conversation with him
Coca-Cola
one day,
Virgin Cola. Oh.
Sorry.
Coca-Cola seems to be okay.
I had a conversation with him one day, and he said, there was some girl who was like, it's all about luck and destiny. He goes, actually, it has nothing to do with luck and destiny. You make your own destiny. You go for it.
Sure, 100%. But the way you do it, Stephen Leacock, a few people have been credited with this, but I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more of it I have.
Right.
So, Larry Bird said the same thing. Yeah, you might try 20 things, and it's that one that succeeds. But you're out there trying.
Lord knows I have.
Which is hitting the point that he brought up, which was long odds, right?
Go 100%. For the long odds. Go for the long odds. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
In horse racing?
Another guest that we had recently, and I'm trying to remember who it was, said, be audacious in your aspirations.
Yes.
That's huge. You know, shoot for the stars. Right. They say shoot for the stars, at least you'll get to the moon.
Yeah.
Be audacious in your aspirations, because why not try and achieve that thing that maybe you're the only person could do?
Or set yourself or differentiate yourself, right? And then have that brilliant idea and follow through that. Joe always says, and we all have ideas, but you have to do it, and you have to stick through it when it's hard and when it's not fun and when it's not sexy and when it's not whatever. And then when you get over that little right before you quit and fail and fizzle out like everyone else, then you do it, and then you're like, boosh, glory days.
And I have a great idea, and I want Tim to take us out.
Oh, to where?
Thank you very much. So if you'd like to hear more about Peter Jackson and success and failure and startups and Bluescape and the rest
long
of
odds.
Us, go to and long odds, go to Spartan Up.
Nope.
Podcast.
Spartan.com/podcast.
No.
Yes.
Spartan.com/podcast.
Yes.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Ensure your body gets the nutrition it needs. Athletic Greens has a special offer for our listeners. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Spartan, and then when you place your order, they'll send you a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets. That's a free offer just for our listeners. Thanks for listening to another epic story of success. If you like our show, be sure to tell your friends about it. We want to hear from you. Just leave us a comment below if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening, go to Twitter and find us at Spartan Up Pod or Instagram at Spartan Up Podcast, and let us know what you think. Then go subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to our show. Spartan Up is brought to you by Spartan Race. To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.